We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. So I'm so I'm leaving a store on Saturday, Lonzo. I'm leaving a store, and I've set the table here for you. The person in front of me looks like they're trying to take a left onto Woodruff Road, and you know what it looks like on Woodruff Road on the weekend. That's a problem, because right puts you right on the first lane available to you, and left, you have to cross three or four lanes of traffic. And I'm looking at this person, and they're getting impatient, and I'm seeing the signal on, and I'm saying to myself, why don't they just turn right and then turn around? I mean, it's this, it's one of those, you know, like survive in advance kind of moments, right? And so, be that as it may, the person, one car stops for them so they can cross over, right? So the lane closest to me stops. And the person, that's all the person can see, is that one lane has stopped for them. The other lane is blind to the person, to the driver. I can see the I can see the other lane. The driver guns it, and I can see another car flying up the lane. And I'm just freaking out, and I'm like, this is not going to end well. And there you have it. Bash. Collision. Right on Woodruff Road. We might have even had listeners. This was like 2 p.m. on Saturday. We might have even had fellow listeners that heard this, that saw this accident happen. And then lo and behold, you know, the driver was, couldn't have been a day older than 18, Lonzo. Could not have been a day older than 18. The person that sped across the three lanes. And then the poor people that hit them were middle-aged, that hit her were middle-aged, immediately put their hands over their mouths like, what have we done? But in order to even do that, you have the knowledge that no one was seriously hurt in the accident. I didn't see any bleeding. I didn't see any of that. But I'm telling you, man, it was a weird thing, and it was surreal in the sense that you realize that not everyone's brain works the same way, right? Like, I saw what this driver ahead of me was looking at, and I said, nah, that doesn't look like a road you can turn left onto going over three lanes. The driver saw the lane, and she goes, gotta go for it. One way or another, gotta go for it.
Here's the problem here. You and I are weird like this, because I think the exact thing. I will go only where there's a light if I have to turn left. I look at stuff like this, but we see this every single day. People coming out of the Lowe's parking lot trying to go left across onto Garlington. I've seen two or three accidents there. And the bad part about it is, it's not just the mentality of the people who think they should be able to turn left. It's the people who will stop and let them go. If you quit being so nice and just block them so they cannot get out, eventually they will be smart enough,
right,
that they'll realize that they shouldn't be doing this.
Well, by that driver being nice in the one lane,
right,
got the driver hit in the other lane.
Right.
Right?
It's just as much that person's fault as it is the person who did it. You let them out. You helped them get into the position where they got hit.
And you also put pressure on the driver because you're being nice, so they feel, I've got to go now. right? I've got to go now. I don't have time to see if there's anyone else coming. Was a weird, I'll tell you, Lonzo, was a weird deal for me. Not that I've never seen an accident before.
So you've lived in a lot of places. I've only lived in a couple, but South Carolina is the only place that I've ever seen people do this.
That accident where you're going to fly across three
lanes?
That
kind of stuff. And people being nice, letting people out, turning left, instead of going, you're an idiot, go somewhere else where you can get across easier.
It was shocking to me. It blew me away. It was shocking to me. And I'm just glad everyone was okay. And then, Lonzo, I had the thought, like, am I supposed to stop? Am I supposed to stop because I saw the accident?
Because you witnessed it?
Because I witnessed it. I didn't stop. I went home.
It's Woodruff Road. Probably 35 people saw it happen.
Yeah, so, I mean, there were a ton of people there. Ton of people out there, but a really, really weird vibe. If you were in the area and happened to see the same accident that I did, sorry, we both had to witness the same really kind of a dumb behavior that took place there. All right, we do it each and every day at this particular time. We call it the top three at three, and the top three at three begins right now. Cut that out, Lonzo. Just for that. Hit it! All right, ladies and gentlemen, a lot to get to here today in the top three at three, and want to make you aware of all of the goings on right now. Okay, so coming up at number three today, I'm going to give you a TV recommendation. Okay, a TV recommendation at coming up at number three. I know, this is a headline segment, but this is a headline for me right now. And the headline is that if you haven't seen this yet, you need to. Chernobyl on HBO is an absolute, is slaying it in terms of delivering a great television program. Chernobyl, of course, you know, is the chemical plant explosion that existed, that happened in Russia and Ukraine in 1986. And what happened to that area and what's become of that area since then, and how they tried to cover it up and people end up getting sick and dying and radiation exposure and cover-ups and everything. It's a 5-part miniseries on HBO. You can get it on HBO Now or HBO Go, and they're not even paying me to say this. And I'm just here to tell you that I'm a proponent of really well-done shows, and this is a really, really, really well-done show. It will tug at your emotions. It makes you wonder what you would do if that ever happened here. And you have the knowledge that this area is still persona non grata today, that still you aren't able to go to the shutdown area because the radiation levels are way too high. Check it out. Chernobyl on HBO. Next up. All right, folks. So the NBA Finals are tied at one after Golden State wins at Toronto. And Toronto was off to a great start yesterday. Up 12 in the second quarter. And then Paul Pierce says the confidence was fractured.
I think their confidence is fractured. I mean, I think it started there in the second quarter when they had a chance to really expand on the lead. Golden State pulled it within five. Then they came out in the third quarter, went on this 18-0 run. And that really put a dent in their confidence. When you waste a game like this, that Kawhi Leonard goes off of 34 points, 14 rebounds, you lose this game. Now you got to go on the road and go to state where they're as tough as anybody in the NBA. They know that it's an uphill battle from here on out.
And there you have it, the words of Paul Pierce on the confidence level being fractured of the Toronto Raptors. I said it before the series began. Toronto would have to win both games at home in order to have a chance to win the series. That didn't happen. Former NBA center Ryan Holland says this could be the game that made Kawhi say goodbye to the North.
This is the type of game that makes Kawhi Leonard leave. You look around, Golden State is injured, hurt. You're up, you're dominating, and you can't put your foot on the necks of the Golden State Warriors. Kawhi Leonard can go do that. He can go be himself somewhere else. He can go defend and go get 30 points, and tonight he joins the clubs of LeBron James and Kobe Bryant. I don't need Toronto for that. We're healthy. We're good. There's no reason that Toronto doesn't win that game. And Kawhi Leonard has done everything he can possibly do through double teams in these last two games, and in fact, the entire playoff run. These are the games that send Kawhi Leonard to L.A.
The words of one Ryan Hollins. I'm not going to go that far yet. As a matter of fact, I'm feeling positive about what I've seen from Toronto thus far. No, I don't think they're going to win the series, especially with Boogie Cousins coming back, especially with Kevin Durant coming back really, really soon. I don't think they win the series. But I think they've shown that with DeMarcus Cousins leaving in free agency, and if Kevin Durant leaves in free agency, that this is a beatable team amongst the very best teams in the NBA. I never felt that before game one of the finals in the first half of the game last night. I do feel that way now. Now, with Cousins returning, with Kevin Durant coming back either in game three or game four, it's all she wrote for Toronto this year, and it may be all she wrote for Toronto forever if Kawhi Leonard decides to leave. But I believe, folks, and I'm believing this increasingly more so now, that Kawhi Leonard may in fact stay. The atmosphere in that building, we the North, he's the king of the North, is unlike anything I've ever seen in professional basketball. It rivals what you see in Cameron Indoor Stadium, Rupp Arena. I mean, the atmosphere is absolutely electric there. It's done so many great things for the NBA and the NBA in Toronto. I think he's beloved. I think he knows where his bread is buttered. And I think right now Kawhi Leonard is leaning towards staying with the Toronto Raptors. And finally, at number one today, boy, Willie Boy, Slick Willie's doing a great job on the recruiting trail. Over the weekend, South Carolina nets the commitment of Michael Wyman, 6'4", 198-pound wide receiver, could potentially be the next Sidney Rice for the Gamecocks. Four stars, ESPN 300 player, commits to the Gamecocks over the weekend. Also, South Carolina earned a key transfer commitment, and they're zeroing in on the commitments of Tank Bigsby, four-star Under Armour All-American running back, zeroing in on the commitment from one Tank Bigsby. He is a very strong South Carolina lean. And the pressure's on. The pressure's on for Tank Big.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
To be the next domino that falls for one South Carolina. Great job by Will Muschamp on the recruiting trail. You don't realize this, folks, but he's narrowing the gap. He's narrowing the gap on what Clemson is doing, and this could be with Luke Doty developing as kind of the player that's leading the recruiting charge and recruiting other players to South Carolina. This could be the class that gets Will Muschamp over the hump. Agree or disagree with that assertion? Those are today's top three at three. Now it's your chance to chime in, which you can do at 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. The text line is there for you at 71307. Start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. Twitter at ESPN Upstate, at Mark Ryan on air, at Lonzo on word, and email Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. All right, coming up next, there is a local reporter that is really unhappy with Clemson University, and I'm going to share the why of that with you next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Hope you guys are doing very, very well. Monday edition of the show. Hope you had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. We've been having some fun here today. Still getting some texts, some tweets about my request earlier in the show, which was to have you guys be honest with us. And that is, what do you not like about your school? What turns you off about your particular school? And we've taken your thoughts. We've taken your calls. A lot of people really kind of opening up and showing me a level of objectivity I hadn't seen previously here in the Upstate. And I love the area here, and I love you guys, and you guys are incredibly friendly. And part of that friendliness is you guys being real homers for your schools. And I can't be that way. I'll always tell you where I stand and what I like and what I don't like. The proof of that is I said, well, I'll talk about my school, University of Florida. What do I not like about them? I think the color orange is awful. It doesn't look good on most humans. Okay? Makes me look like I have jaundice. No, thank you. And then the other thing for me is my school has a joke of a policy against marijuana. Anything worth doing is worth doing well. Either don't have a policy or don't put forth the joke or have a legitimate one. Don't put forth this joke of a policy at the University of Florida that says that you need 6 offenses of marijuana to be kicked off the team. 6. First is a warning. Second is 1 game. It's a total joke, man. Total, total joke. So in any case, the phone lines are open for you if you'd like to chime in on, in a moment of honesty. If you have 3 kids as a parent and you have 1 kid that behaves better than the other 2, even that could improve in something, right? In this case, I know I'm asking you to talk about your family, and that's okay. That's okay, because I'm interested to see who is willing to be open and honest about their school on this show today. All right. I do want to get to this because this is it's a touchy subject. And but, you know, I don't shy from the touchy subjects. OK, you know, I don't shy from those at all. Clemson Osterine emails reveal in-house probe theories that include food tampering. The article is from Gene Sapikoff from the Post and Courier. Now, I don't want to speak for Gene, but the tenor of my perception of the tenor of his article is that he's mildly or significantly disappointed in what was provided to him by Clemson. He says the following. He says that the Post and Courier sent a Freedom of Information request to Clemson regarding emails that had been shared about Osterine on campus. What he was provided were 33 pages of emails, almost all of which that are maybe 75 to 80%, Lonzo, completely redacted. Okay, so you see the emails here that were provided, and like, what are you going to gain out of that?
Yeah, that's a lot of black. Basically see a name, and that's about it.
What are you going to gain out of that? Included in this article, Gene Sapikoff even states that Clemson redacted to the Post and Courier things that were public knowledge that were said at public press conferences. And now that is put in quotes, they were even redacting that. And they weren't providing that to be seen or heard or read. So, I'm a big proponent of transparency, and you guys know that by the show that we do here. I'm huge into transparency, being open and honest with you about who we are, about what we do, about when we screw up. And when I was going around the building today for this segment where I was asking fans of teams what you don't like about your school, I heard about Clemson that people don't, even Clemson fans, don't like that there's like a Wizard of Oz level of secrecy to some of this stuff. There's a Wizard of Oz level of secrecy here, right? And when you're asking for the Freedom of Information request, and then Clemson is quote-unquote complying with this by sending 33 pages, but all of them are almost completely redacted. 75 to 80% of this is redacted. It doesn't really do you much good as far as the Post and Courier. Gene Sapikoff has an article to write. Clemson defenders will say, well, you're not allowed to reveal kids' names. And while that is true, you're not going to have me believe that the entire portion of what's been taken out, it just involves students' names left and right, right? You're not going to have me believe that. The veil of Clemson secrecy here continues. And when you have that veil of secrecy is when people get suspicious. And this is the thing that I don't understand from the very beginning about this. Because I don't believe that Clemson is guilty of cheating or knowingly cheating. I believe that somehow tainted supplements, Ostrine was in supplements that players were given. That is my hunch. That is my belief. But when the Post and Courier asks you for the emails that were shared on campus and you black almost all of them out, it doesn't paint an overly positive picture. You continue to feel like, well, what is being hidden here exactly? Exactly what are they hiding? And why are they hiding this? It doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense to me, man. It really, really doesn't. These are the words of Gene Sapikoff. He says, and the heavily redacted documents, only 33 of them, show what little light Clemson is willing to shed on an issue that cost tight end Braden Galloway and offensive lineman Zach Gaea their 2019 eligibility. I don't believe Clemson is guilty of any wrongdoing here. So what, in fact, are they hiding? And why, in fact, are they hiding it? It's a Freedom of Information Act, and they are completely blacking out very, very large portions of these emails, right? Very, very large portions of these emails. The portion that the Post and Courier was able to receive from Clemson is less than you get in a movie preview, okay? The Post and Courier was asking for the movie. Clemson gave them less than the movie preview. And it just kind of, if I'm honest with you, it just raises a little bit of an eyebrow for me. It really, really does. All right, let's get right to it. 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN. Billy joins us on the line, and Billy continues the objectivity. We call it, Billy, the anti-Clemson, being open and honest about about your grievances with your own team. And what are your grievances with your own team? Billy, you're offsides. Go ahead.
You know, this is Harry East for me. This has bothered me since I became a fan of them when I was a small child. It's their mascot. I mean, it's not that manly, let's be honest. I mean, it doesn't have alpha characteristics. Now, I do understand that a Gamecock versus another Gamecock is going to fight to the death. And I get why they chose that. And I've got a Clemson buddy who told me some years back that their original mascot was a jaguar, and I forgot the reason why they had changed that. But I don't like the mascot itself, the Gamecocks. And then the other thing I don't like is, I don't know if you've noticed it, and I had a Clemson fan point this out to me a long time ago, but it's true, is the mascot, when they have 2001, they're out there in that little cage that they do, and, you know, they're doing the smoke and everything. The guy's wearing a skirt. I mean, I mean, why would they do that? You know, I want a mascot. Back in the 70s and early 80s, as you guys, either one of you wouldn't hear, but they had a muscular-looking, like, bird. I mean, he was a built dude, you know? I mean, now it's kind of feminine, and I just don't care for that, honestly.
You don't care for the feminine mascot? Oh.
I just don't. Well, it's supposed to represent male sports more than anything, right? I know it also represents the athletics department in general, and that also includes the female athletes. But let's be honest, most people keep up with the football first and foremost. And it doesn't look too masculine when you see that. So
I don't even know. I don't even know, Billy, that a mascot has to look masculine. A mascot has to look fearsome. There are female there are female grizzly bears out there that will shred you and I in half a second here, right? And so to me, it goes back to, you know, my feeling, the Washington Redskins mascot is offensive. The Syracuse Orange Men, they were called Orange Men. They were referring to an Indian tribe and the color of skin. That is offensive. But when Syracuse changed the mascot to be just the fruit and they said Orange Men, they changed the meaning of it. And that wasn't even good enough for the PC police up there. You can't even be the Orange Men anymore because now you got to just be the orange, so it's including women as well. This PC stuff is going to whole new levels for my in my opinion, Billy. But I agree with your premise. The darn mascot needs to look intimidating, and there are
exactly right.
There are no need for the dumb button, Lonzo. There are real animals that are in the Cox family. Okay, that will shred you, will absolutely shred you, especially with some studs on their legs. They'll shred you. And I don't understand why you wouldn't make the mascot a little bit more fearsome, Billy.
Well, you know, here's the thing. If you're going to go with an animal, why not go with something other than a chicken or a bird? I just don't get that. Anyway, and as far as Dallas goes, there's two things that I've always hated about them, and it's been more recent than you know, prior. But the first thing is, I didn't like Jerry Jones as a general manager. That's kind of stopped now, thank God. And the other thing is, their fan base is honestly one of the stupidest fan bases that you'll ever see. And I hate to say that. I'm a big fan. I'm an educated fan when it comes to Dallas. But if you start talking to just general population Dallas fans, the Cowboys, they are a stupid fan base. And I hate to say that.
Why?
But honestly, God,
why?
Please, Mark.
Why? Why are they stupid?
Because they live in the past. They won't accept where they are right now. And they honestly, if you talk to them, let's say they're playing the New England Patriots tomorrow, and they've got no shot. If you talk to some of those stupid people, oh, they're going to win by 30 or 40 points. They're Clemson fans, basically. That's who they are. Anyway, Mark, I appreciate it, buddy.
Hey,
take care.
Hey, thanks, Billy. I appreciate the phone call. I appreciate the openness and honesty. Fans chiming in on what they don't like about their school. Any issue with the Gamecock as South Carolina's mascot? It isn't the most intimidating mascot in the world here, Lonzo.
I agree with Billy.
With Billy?
Yeah, I do.
What would you choose for South Carolina?
What would
be a better mascot
you
for this
keep,
area?
You want to keep the same color scheme.
Sure.
So, I mean, the animal doesn't necessarily have to be red or black.
Well, we've seen that with Florida, right? Florida's orange and blue. Gators are green. Brown. Right? I mean, what would be a better mascot for South Carolina that would elicit more fear and intimidation? You know,
does it have to be indigenous to the state? I mean, that's a question, because a lot of these mascots are found in the area, like Florida. You find gators.
You don't even need to be an animal. If I'm honest with you, I mean, you could the UCF Knights, right? I mean, that's not an animal in any way, shape, or form. But yeah, no, I agree with you. Clemson Tigers, for one, I'm not overly enthused with the Tigers either, if I'm honest with you. There's too damn many of them. You know, not only is LSU Death Valley, Clemson's now Death Valley, they're both the damn Tigers. Auburn Tigers. You know, it's just too many darn Tigers everywhere. You know, I haven't seen a Tiger once. I've been here for 4.5 months. I keep looking, Lonzo. I'm not seeing any Tigers walking around. All right? So I just...
But here's the thing. If you have to get rid of the Gamecock, then the Louisville Cardinals are on TV right now. You get rid of the Cardinal?
Yeah, Cardinals weak, man. Cardinals are really weak.
Is anything bird okay?
You know, like Eagles. Eagles are pretty fearsome.
They are.
Right?
Hawks are pretty fearsome.
I saw a video, Lonzo, recently of a 40-pound hawk land on a gazelle and just grip its talons on the back of the gazelle. And it was eating the back of the gazelle, and there was nothing the gazelle could do about it. It was just having lunch, taking as many chunks out of its back as it wanted. It was so disturbing, man. And I was like, man, these birds are vicious. You know, the animal can't even do anything about the fact that you're attacking it. It can't run away. It can't shake you off of it. You're just going to take chunks out of its back until you've had your fill. So disturbing, man. Really, really, really disturbing. Texter says, point of reference on South Carolina's great recruiting class. Clemson widened the gap with this year's class. USC can make up some of that, but Clemson has increased its roster superiority. Clay C. Clemson's having the best class in school history right now, Clay. You know that. I know that. But Will Muschamp in this class is taking a step up from Tier 2 program to Tier 1 program, and there's a tremendous amount of momentum led by quarterback Luke Doty. All right, let's get to Steven, who's up first. Steven, thanks so much for the call. You're offside. Steven, go ahead.
Hey, Mark, I have a suggestion for the mascot for the game, you know, or USC.
Sure.
And I was thinking about the USC Sasquatch. Just like you don't see any of their fans in public wearing any of their gear, they're scarce as a Sasquatch.
Okay. The problem is, then you're starting to get into kind of the River Dogs kind of minor league feel with things that people, banana slugs, people don't know if it exists. Lonzo, I'll let you chime in. Sasquatch, does that work
for
you?
I got to say, South Carolina Sasquatch kind of sounds cool.
I love the movie Harry and the Hendersons. I did, but it's not based in reality, Stephen.
Wait a minute, Stephen.
Has Gamecock football disenfranchised you to the point that you have to be so far separate from reality when you talk about them?
Well, that or just seeing one in public wearing a Gamecock jersey or any affiliation to Gamecocks is as scarce as seeing a Sasquatch.
Okay, yeah, listen, man, you're kind of selling me on it, Stephen. You're kind of selling me on it. South Carolina Sasquatches would be better than South Carolina Gamecocks. And Stephen, thanks so much for the call, man. Thanks so much for the suggestion. Do appreciate it. Brian is up next. Uh-oh. Brian has thrown a flag on me. A texter says South Carolina should change from the Gamecocks to the Sharks. The Ole Miss Rebels did that with the Land Sharks. The Land Shark is now their mascot. They moved on from Colonel Rebel, which you understand why they would do that. Brian, why is the flag being thrown on me here today, sir? You're offsides.
Oh, Mark, you made a big slip up in these parts, buddy. A big slip up. A few minutes ago, you said LSU is Death Valley. Now Clemson's Death Valley. Clemson was Death Valley before LSU was
doesn't
ever
matter.
Death Valley.
Doesn't matter. You ask fans which is the real Death Valley. One feels like you're going to a picnic. One feels like you're going to die. You tell me which one is the real Death Valley. It's not Clemson.
Well, Clemson's louder also. Not even close.
It's not louder than Death Valley and Baton Rouge. Not even close.
Would you like a little wager on that?
What are you gonna? Are you gonna hit me with the airplane level sound decibels sound type deal? Listen, LSU in Baton Rouge.
There's only one college that's ever produced a louder decibel level than Clemson. Only one. And that was Washington.
You're talking about the high point, Brian. You're talking about the high point. I've been to both of them in terms of intimidation factor. The word is death.
What game is death? You went to the spring game. You went to the spring game. You haven't been to a real game in Death Valley.
I got you. Okay, Go ahead, bud.
I was just going to say, I did want to comment on the mascot thing, though. I actually think I'm a Clemson fan, but I actually think that South Carolina, that's a really good mascot for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's original. You know, there are not a lot of them around. And number two, fighting chickens have a little history here in South Carolina, and they're very spirited. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen one, but they're actually very spirited animals. So,
they come after you. So they come after you, and they don't care that you're ten times the size of them. You know?
I've seen them
come after you. So, Brian, appreciate the phone call and appreciate the debate as well. When you attach the word death to it, I've only been to one stadium where I was actually worried about my safety, and that was Baton Rouge. That was Louisiana. That was where the bus that we rode in on was rocked back and forth. We thought it was going to get tipped over. That was where a cup of foreign fluid was dumped on my head. That was where we were mooned constantly, elbowed trying to go to the bathroom, torn down goalposts and rammed into the band. All right? There's only one. Listen. There's only one atmosphere.
So you keep saying Rand. Was it like a lance, or did they turn it sideways
It was a lance. It was like a lance where, like, you know, 50 people were holding this thing, and they rammed it into where the band was seated over the wall. They tore it down and then rammed it into the band, man. I've never seen anything like that. It's the only time at a stadium, and you know me, Lonzo, I'm a smack talker. It's the only time in my life that I've ever been even the slightest bit uncomfortable at a game. And I'm the guy who stomped on the Florida State flag during the pregame show. Was never uncomfortable until I was, no offense, Clemson fans, at the real Death Valley in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You put the word death attached, that's a whole different connotation. All right, coming up next, some key injury news and notes to share with you moving forward, and so much more between now and the end of the show. You're listening to Offsides with Mark Ryan. It's right here on ESPN Upstate. Louisville and Illinois State in the baseball regional right now, 3-3, bottom nine. Winner advances to the super regional. Over under 2 hours of baseball or softball World Series, sexist sport, or baseball regionals watched by you this weekend, Lonzo?
I didn't watch either, but if I had to choose, I'd watch softball all day.
You didn't watch either one?
No.
Really?
I was very, very busy.
Wow. Okay. So I watched over 2 hours softball, 2 hours baseball. You've heard my beef about softball, but you put everything on the line, as has been on the line. You give me some upsets in the baseball regionals. Georgia was upset. I hate the fact that it was to Florida State, but yeah, Jacksonville State getting all the way to the final there. So, really, really interesting stuff on the baseball regional front. Clemson season comes to an end, sadly, unfortunately. Impressed that they got the win over Illinois, 3 seed over the 2 seed. But then to lose in an elimination game and to get run out of the stadium by the 4 seed, that will certainly leave a sour taste in Clemson baseball fans' mouths. And if I may, I've never seen or lived in a state that has more of a passion for college baseball than this particular state. And frankly, folks, I feel like you deserve better. I've been in states that didn't care half as much, that put a better team out on the field. And you guys, with the level of support that you give both Clemson and South Carolina and the likes of Furman and Wofford, you truly do deserve better. So let's get to this. I have an injury report for you right now. It's brought to you by the Blue Ridge Law Firm. The Blue Ridge Law Firm will protect your wages if you're injured on the job. They will be your guide. Blue-collar attorneys at the Blue Ridge Law Firm. Okay, so regular people, regular attorneys, not stuffy in any single way. Golden State Warriors swingman Klay Thompson left Sunday night's 109-104 NBA Finals Game 2 win of the Raptors in the fourth quarter with left hamstring tightness. He's having an MRI as we speak in Oakland to determine the severity of the injury. Thompson was hurt with 10:40 left in regulation after he landed awkwardly. He stayed in the game for a couple of minutes before motioning to his team to foul so he could come out of the game. He left with 7:59 remaining. Then he hobbled to the bench, and the team ended up winning the game without him. Klay Thompson has been on social media today saying that he is going to be playing in Wednesday's Game 3, but he doesn't yet know the extent of the hamstring injury, so I take that as a good sign. Doris Burke said yesterday, talking about the NBA Finals, that the Warriors really showed the heart of a champion in what they achieved in Game 2.
I just thought the whole night was the epitome of championship medal. When you want to understand what it looks like, it looked like tonight from the Golden State Warriors, and it was across the board. The confidence that Quinn Cook showed in knocking down shots after Klay Thompson hits that, the thigh injury or the hamstring injury, Kevon Looney going down. I mean, just, I thought it was extraordinary across the board, and it was really, to me, I know there were some X's and O's, but to me it was about toughness and make them feel you and defensively having the pride to say, you're not doing to us what you did the other night. Championship medal, that's what this was all about for me.
I've said it. Toronto had to win both games at home to win this series. They did not get it done. Can they take one out of two in the city by the Bay? All right, coming up next, Lonzo and I debated during the break whether this is sports or not. He managed to convince me that it is, and it's a side of this particular celebrity that you've never heard before. And it's next, right here on the most interactive sports show in the Upstate. You're Offsides with Mark Ryan on ESPN Upstate.
You know, Mark just asked me what I did over the weekend while I was here, and I was training, and in between a couple of the shows that I was training someone on, we were talking about a story where you Google yourself and see pictures of yourself. And a ton of videos come up of me of when I used to be heavy. And the guy I was training was looking like, man, you really did lose a lot of weight. Yes, I did lose a lot of weight. Trust me, I weighed nearly 400 pounds and I lost 200 pounds of fat. There's no denying it when you look at old pictures and you look at old videos. And here's the thing. When you try the Health Dare, or when you do the Health Dare, because you will lose weight in 30 days guaranteed or your money back, keep your old pictures because they'll always be there to remind you of what you accomplished, what you were able to do. And when you lost all hope and thought you couldn't do anything and you found the Health Dare, because that's what happened for me. The Health Dare will work for you. I guarantee it. And you know what? You don't need to starve yourself. You do not need to wait for food to come in the mail because that's just crazy. And you don't have to step a foot inside of a gym. You know what? You can eat fast food and carbs. And it's real easy to get started. Go to iDareGreenville.com. Fill out some information and one of the Health Dare coaches will bring you in for a free consultation and get you on the road to losing that weight. Go to iDareGreenville.com today. When you're there, make sure you tell them that Lonzo dared you.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you. Congratulations to the Louisville Cardinal, which, by the way, isn't half of the mean or intimidating mascot that a South Carolina Gamecock is. With runners on the corners, bottom of the ninth inning, winner takes all, 3-3 against Illinois State. Louisville gets a single up the middle. Louisville advances to the Super Regional. Louisville did nothing whatsoever in the ACC tournament. I know because Clemson beat them, and Louisville will advance to the Super Regional. So congratulations to the Louisville Cardinal for advancing in the baseball regional. Okay, time for the very, very best thing that we heard today. You are hearing a celebrity in this particular best thing we heard today in a way that you've never heard him before. Way back in the day, he was perhaps the most intimidating. I think he'd probably win, Lonzo, the vote for most intimidating celebrity over Jack Nicholson out of the 80s. I think he probably wins this particular vote because of the movies that he was in. Then he turned to politics, and now Arnold Schwarzenegger turns to Russian rapping? All right, all right, all right. Lonzo, what do you give a thumbs up or a thumbs down to this Arnold Schwarzenegger effort here? What do you say?
I think Arnold's the best part of the song, actually.
You know, it wasn't working for me until he dropped the I'll be back, right? Until he dropped the I'll be back from the Terminator. And do you remember watching the Terminator for the first time? Like Terminator 1, Terminator 2? Those were insane movies, man. Absolutely fantastic movies. Unfortunately, unlike video games, you can go back and play old video games and still love them. You go back and you see old movies with old technology, you can spot all the flaws in them immediately.
You can, but T2 is still my favorite Terminator.
Incredible. I mean, just an incredible movie and incredibly well cast. And I kind of don't like the fact that Arnold Schwarzenegger's no longer, I think that started with what, Kindergarten Cop? Was no longer viewed as a scary guy anymore. In any case, thanks so much for making us part of your afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, Straight Up with Sturge is coming your way next, right here on ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.